Consider this scenario. A child with autism attends school in a mainstream classroom. Although she's progressing academically, her teacher isn't sure how to handle situations that make her upset, such as when she doesn't understand an assignment or during unexpected changes to the classroom routine. She also has difficulty organizing her work and interacting with peers when students are working together in the classroom or during non-academic activities like lunchtime. Anxiety and meltdowns are common, and although calls home clearly show that the teacher is trying to help, she doesn't seem to know enough about autism to understand how it affects her students' ability to cope with daily stressors and how she can help the child effectively. So what can be done to help this student and all of our students? That is what we're discussing today. Supports and training for school personnel and for parents. Hello, Special Education Strategist. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm a mom of three and have sat on both sides of the IEP table. As a parent and a professional, the world of special education can seem overwhelming and scary, even for me as a parent, and I have that extensive special education training, but I've got you. In my solo episodes of the Special Education Strategist, I'm here to break down the IEP process, reduce the stress, and empower you and your student. At the IEP table, I have learned to improve outcomes, be informed, be prepared, and become a partner with that IEP team. You know your child best, and you know if they are struggling or if they are thriving, if they are happy or losing hope, if they understand or completely lost. The question is, what now? If you're unsure what steps to take to help your child succeed and need a starting point, head over to learningessentialsedu.com and take my free quiz. After answering some simple questions about your child, it will guide you towards the first step in helping your child be the best they can be. Now back to discussing supports and training. Supports are a powerful tool, even better if we have proper training to help us navigate. While IEPs mainly focus on the needs of the student and the services and supports they receive, including support for school personnel, can be a powerful tool for improving educational and behavioral outcomes. Although the IEP must include a place to describe these supports, they are often minimally addressed and vaguely worded at best. This required component of the IEP represents an opportunity for both parents and professionals to advocate for the child, for the parent, and even for that professional working together as a team to better improve our outcomes. So if we take a look at the law, IDEA, our federal law, it says supports for school personnel could also include special training for a child's teacher. Training is targeted directly on assisting the teacher to meet a unique and specific need of the child. And this wording is important. It doesn't simply mean I'm going to participate in an in-service that is generally available to all the educators in my district. It means that I'm going to participate as an educator in a training that meets the specific unique needs of a child. So federal regulation emphasizes the importance as well, not only for professionals, but for parents. And they use the term counseling and training. So the Department of Education states that there should be no question that parent counseling and training include helping parents acquire skills that will help them support the implementation of their child's IEP or IFSP. Let's consider first the needs of school personnel for a moment. For example, Ben's teacher, Mrs. Smith, needs support, specifically training by the resource teacher or the school psychologist in ADHD and how ADHD affects Ben and how Ben can learn more effectively. Supports for school personnel can focus on opportunities for staff to learn about the student's disability, how it can affect the student in school setting. And when we talk about the school setting as a parent, I really want you to think about academically, physically, behaviorally, socially, emotionally, the whole experience of the child from the time they enter the school building to they leave the school building. We also want to think about training that is evidence-based and how to access and receive training and specialized curricula. So the IEP must describe the supports for school personnel that will be provided on behalf of the student so that the student can advance towards obtaining the annual goals that are outlined, to be involved in and progress in the general curriculum, and to participate in extracurricular activities and other non-academic activities. So we've talked about this in other solo episodes, but it's not all about the academics. It's also about activities that are part of the school, even after school activities that are non-academic and extracurricular, to ensure that our students have equal access and can participate fully with their same age peers. Supports for school personnel are those that would help them to more effectively work with the student. They could include special training for a student's teacher, supports for school personnel that are needed to, again, to meet that unique and specific need of that student. So let me give you some examples. Information on specific disability and implications for instruction or training and use of specific positive behavioral interventions, training in the use of American Sign Language, assistance with curriculum modifications, maybe specific trainings on an assistive technology device that a student will be using, perhaps a behavioral consultation with school psychologist, a social worker, or other behavioral consultants. Also, if there's transitional support services needed. Let's think about the parent training as well. Think about how much more satisfying and effective as a parent that homework session would be if you could implement the successful strategies the school finds. So initial and ongoing training for parents should be written into the IEP. For example, you may find that you will be helping your child, say again, Ben from earlier, translate word problems into more concrete step-by-step math problems. And that way of doing that really helps your child be successful. So training you as the parent how to do that so that you can mirror what is being successful in the classroom is critical. It is key. And that is really how we create that partnership with the school and as an IEP team to support a specific child. So if we look at the official comments from 1999, it states that the definition of parent counseling and training should be changed to recognize the more active role acknowledged for parents under IDEA amendments of 1997 as participants in the education of their child. We know parents are very important participants in this education process for their child. And so from a professional lens, helping parents gain the skills that will enable them to help their children meet the goals and objectives that are outlined in the IEP will be a positive change for parents. It will also be a positive change for the student. It's going to assist in furthering the education of their child and will aid in the schools as it will create opportunities to build reinforcing relationships between each child's education program and out-of-school learning. So let's take a couple more examples here of how these IEP services can be implemented. Sally's a third grader who has developmental delay with severe language impairment. She's receiving one-on-one pull-out services from a speech and language therapist for 30 minutes, two times per week. Things seem to be going well. At times, she can become oppositional. So what can we do? So we write to request an IEP meeting with the teacher and the speech and language pathologist. And we open this discussion on how we can better support our student, Sally, here. And we are going to request parent training and collaboration between Sally's teacher and the speech language pathologist. And that is not to replace that direct speech service, but we're looking at collaboration and training in addition. So maybe what could happen is that you can ask to receive 30 minutes per month in parent training from the speech language therapist. And that gives you an opportunity to review the speech exercises that your child, Sally, is working on in speech therapy. And in this way, you're able to practice and reinforce the receptive and expressive language exercises in the home to continue to strengthen those skills and then reduce the opportunities that the child is becoming frustrated with their language skills. Another example is if your child is eligible under OHI or other health conditions, say for a brain injury, and they receive support through their school, the parents could receive mental health counseling or family therapy to help them understand the child's disability and to acquire the communication and behavioral management skills that may be necessary to help that student achieve their IEP goals. One more example is, say you have an eighth grader has an IEP that's supporting reading and processing. An example for parent training could include 10 minutes per month from a special educator or a speech pathologist or the reading intervention specialist to help the parents learn the techniques that are being used so that the parents can help monitor their progress outside of the classroom and carry over the techniques outside of school. So the IEP should clearly designate who is responsible for the training. The IEP must assign responsibility for the preparation of the supplementary aids and services. And if the regular education teacher can't do this alone, they need support perhaps from the special education department, and the task must be allocated so all personnel will know who is responsible, the school will be accountable, and will have the materials and the supports the child needs to be successful. And I encourage you to do that as a parent, to really ask those questions of who is responsible for delivering a service, who is responsible for delivering the training, so that everybody at the IEP table is clear. Some people don't know to ask that, whether you're a parent or a professional. So I think it's really critical that we include that in our questions during that IEP process while we're developing a child's IEP. So everybody is aware of who is providing the services, where it's taking place, when it's taking place, and the accountability piece, the data piece. So everybody's on the same page. By making sufficient use of supports for school personnel and parent training, IEP teams can use the tools provided by IDEA to help children succeed. Teachers, special education personnel, service providers, and parents will work closely together to understand the child's gaps and gains, how they impact the child educationally, academically, behaviorally, socially, emotionally, et cetera, and recognize the effects of the educational performance so we can all collaborate to meet the child's individualized educational needs. I hope this helps make it a great day. Again, I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm obsessed with helping families and professionals bridge learning gaps, access special education services, and build kick-butt IEPs. Thank you again for strategizing with us and spending your precious time listening. If you've loved what you've heard, share this episode with a friend and give us a like and a follow at Learning Essentials. Head on over to learningessentialsedu.com to take your free quiz. If you need more special education support, visit Learning Essentials, where we provide individualized and systematic approach to supporting students with various learning needs and differences through academic coaching, educational therapy, Brain Camp, our executive function support model, and IEP coaching.